Glory to God. Well, today's message is called Hot Pursuit. Praise the Lord. Hot Pursuit. You remember, anybody remember Roscoe P. Coltrane? Yeah. I used to think it was all one word because the way they said it, Roscoe P. Coltrane, you know, and I was like, but it's Roscoe P. Coltrane. If you don't remember, well, praise the Lord, you're too young, but Roscoe P. Coltrane, what was he? He was always in hot pursuit, right? Hot pursuit of them Duke boys. Well, we're in hot pursuit of the things of God. Amen. And that's what this message, and actually this message, and though this wasn't planned this way, it never is, but this message is probably a lead into the next few messages that are coming. And so we're so thankful for what God has for us. Amen. Glory to God. And so this will help us. It's going to get us into where we're going. Turn with me to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Amen. Amen. So if I have to pick it up, if we can't finish, I have to pick it up and lead into next week, that's fine. Just so as you know that we might not make it all the way through today. Proverbs 13, verse 21 and 22. Says here, adversity pursues sinners, but the righteous will be rewarded with prosperity. That doesn't sound too bad. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. And that's the part that we're really getting to here today. You know, we're talking about pursuits and what we pursue. You know, as Christians, we have to pursue a different thing. Yeah. As Christians, we have to understand that we have to be in pursuit of something else. And the reason this scripture came to me is because of the thought of that. These last words here, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Notice that the wealth, and if we think about the wealth of the sinner, the wealth of the world, the things that people try to obtain in the world, you notice those things are always something that people pursue. You know, there's businessmen, very successful businessmen and women out there that produce big things, and they pursue businesses. You know, Elon Musk. I use him. I've been seeing. I like seeing clips of him talking because I just think he's kind of interesting. but Elon Musk. You know, he was pretty sure that, or he wasn't sure, but people were pretty sure he was going to fail, that he wasn't going to make it. And now he's like one of the richest men in the world. You know, he's got this huge business that is doing all these amazing, really amazing things, and the technology that's coming out of there. But that came because he pursued it with everything that's in him. Yeah. But I love that the Bible teaches us something different, you know, and that's fine for the people of the world to pursue whatever you're going to pursue. But here's the thing that the truth of the word is that their pursuits, the wealth of that is stored up for us. Amen. It's stored up for the righteous. Now, what does that mean exactly? It doesn't mean that you're going to walk out of here and you know, get a phone call over to good old Elon and see if he would, you know, give you some of his money, saying, "Hey, Elon, after all, my pastor just told me this week, your wealth belongs to me." Amen. That's not what this is talking about. You probably wouldn't have much success doing so. Amen. But what this is telling us is there's a kind of a, and you can kind of see it if you look at it long enough, which is how I got to this. But notice that the righteous aren't the ones that are pursuing it, that what the righteous have is already laid aside for them. Yeah. And I think that's the heart of this scripture, not for us to look at this and say, well, what can we get from Bill Gates as Christians? What can I demand? You know, and yet some Christians are go around, they're praying for other people's stuff. It happens in some circles because the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. So whatever Bill Gates or Elon Musk or Donald Trump or anybody else, whatever they have, I'm calling that in the name of Jesus because it's stored up for me. But that is a gross misinterpretation of what the scripture is saying. This scripture is saying, amen, that it's already laid up for you. You ain't got to pursue it. There are things, in other words, what God is telling us through the scripture is that he has provided for the righteous already. That the things that he has for us, everything he has ordained in our life to walk out, every path that he has ordained that we take. Yeah. I said, make sure, be clear that it's the ones he has ordained that we take. Every direction that God has given you, there's supply for it. All the needs are met in that supply. All the direction, all the victory is already had. When we talk about victory in Jesus, this is really what it's talking about. It's already laid up for us. It's stored up for us. It's, in fact, that's what it's being amassed for. The world is making people rich so that we can continue in the work of God and He can bring it to us. Amen. Again, the wealth isn't for us to be focused on wealth and getting rich. And if you think that's what I'm saying, you are very, very, very mistaken. And I would just stop listening to that evil spirit right now, because that's not the truth at all. The truth at all is that we don't have to focus on the things the world focuses on in order to be what we are. And see, that's exactly what the world is doing. The world, now listen, if you know, we have people in here that are businessmen and women. We have people in here that work jobs and you're trying to, you work jobs, do certain things to increase, you build your business. There's nothing at all wrong with that. I'm not saying that that's at all wrong. But if you're a Christian, your pursuit needs to be God. Your reasons for doing it need to be God. And see, the world looks at wealth and they go after wealth. They pursue wealth as something to obtain. But the Christian knows or should know that wealth is just a tool in our tool belt. It has nothing to do with what our pursuit should be. Our pursuit should always be God. And then whatever our pursuits are, God always supplies that. If God has called, and God has called Christian men and Christian women into business. He's called them into business, into flourishing business. But that flourishing in business is in order to supply the work of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'll just say this. If your heart is in those things, if you would truly put that before God and say, Lord, I will use my wealth. I will use my business. I will use the things that you've inspired me with for your kingdom and actually mean it. You wait and see what God will do in that place. But now I'm not saying these things because your pastor needs to come to you and say, hey, you need to be giving more because you have a good business. That's not my job. My job is to preach to you the truth. And the truth is you seek God for what you need to do. And if you follow God on what you need to do, you will always be successful. And so God wants us to be successful. He has prepared things in such a way that we would walk out His blessing. Praise the Lord. Wealth is everything to the wicked. To the righteous, it is only a tool. When anyone is looking at a magnificent structure, aside from a very few goofy individuals like myself, they don't consider the tools that made it. They only look at the structure and they think, wow, how beautiful. People don't go to the Eiffel Tower and sit there, they're not traveling all over the world to go to the Eiffel Tower to look at it and consider the guys who made it, the workers who welded it or riveted it and did all those things. They're not looking to know what tools they use. People aren't standing around there by and large with that. They're not taking pictures of that so they can show it next to the pictures of the tools that were made to build it. And it's just like my wife and I love to go to art museums. As we go to art museums, you have room after room of paintings that are invaluable. You almost couldn't even put a price tag on most of them. But the thing that you very rarely see is the tools which created it. You don't even know. You don't even care what kind of canvas it was painted on. You don't care what kind of brush that they used. Amen. A lot of times people don't even really care when they're looking at them what kind of paint they use, unless it's another artist who's trying to break it down because they want to maybe learn something from it. But the thing is they don't make art museums based on the tools. And we have to understand that's all wealth, that's all money, that's all supply, all those things, that's all that is. And it's all it should be to us. It shouldn't be a thing. And yet so many people are spending their lives in pursuit of things that shouldn't be a thing. They're pursuing things that are lesser and not the greater. It would be just the same as people, museums having to close down, or you have a building that's some famous architect has designed, and that's something else that my wife and I love to do. We go all over the place. When we go places, we look for different architectural styles and stuff like that. We like to look at those things, but we're not considering often the tools that are made to use them. The focus is in the right place. And so my point today is we are talking about finances. We are talking about money in a sense. But this is going to be a totally different one because I'm not trying to get anything out of you. Yeah. Not that I ever am trying to really get anything out of you, but I'm not preaching it from that standpoint. Because honestly, the Lord has showed me this recently, and this was really interesting to me, but I should care less about what you do. Now, I care for you as a pastor. I care about your life and stuff like that. But really, what you decide to do is not up to me. It's up to you. And what you do, right or wrong, is going to affect, first and foremost, you. But if it's something that affects the church, it will soon dissipate, and somebody else will come in and fill those shoes. Amen? And so I should care less about what... I don't preach this from the standpoint of telling you, listen, I'm trying to get something from you, because it doesn't matter what you do with this. It matters to God what you do with this. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. And what the heart of the message is stop going after things that aren't God. Stop pursuing things that don't matter. And I'm going to say this. Maybe you're somebody who doesn't have any money at all. Maybe you're somebody who has no business at all. Maybe you're somebody who has no job at all. You can still be caught up into the pursuit of things. And that is still equally as ungodly. It's no different than somebody who is amassing wealth and not caring about anybody else and not doing anything with it, and they're just hoarding it for themselves. We know that in the day of judgment, that would be a bad thing, and none of us would want to stand before Jesus with that testimony. But I'm going to tell you that there's an awful lot of poor people that will also stand before Jesus with that same testimony, because they pursued things. They pursued the world. They pursued the stuff of the world. Amen? We need to get to a place where we trust God and we pursue Him. Because when we make God the object of our affection, when we make Him our goal, everything else falls into place. And I've seen, by and large, over the years, the reason that things don't fall into place most of the time for people is because He is not their top pursuit. Religion should not be your top pursuit. This church should not be your top pursuit. Praise the Lord. Your top pursuit should be, what does God have for me to do? Where has He planted me? Where does He put me? And knowing that you have to know something, Christian. You got to know something about the Lord. You got to know that if you're in His will, He will take care of you. You got to know that if you're in His will, there is a supply. You got to know, and I'm not just talking about a financial supply. I'm talking about all the peace you need is going to be in that place. All the rest you need is going to be in that place. All the doors that you need to be opened in your life will be in that place of trusting God and pursuing God. But the world, they're like foolish. They walk around in the world banging into walls, not knowing what they're doing. This wall, that wall. It's just they always are trying something else out and nothing is ever working. That's the life that I lived. That's the life that I lived. I tell you all the time, one decade I would never want to go back and live is my 20s. I am so glad for my 40s. I look forward to my 50s and even more to my 60s, praise the Lord. And if I get into my 70s, which I believe I will, I'm looking forward to them even more than the other ones. Why? Because God's increase doesn't stop when you're in His plan. And I don't plan on getting out of His plan, amen? And I don't think you plan on getting out of His plan, but maybe you're not in His plan and you need to plan to get into it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's something you need to do. So if you're not there, I'm just telling you this morning, your number one answer that you got this morning for all the troubles that you're facing, all the things you're going through in life, the number one answer is get in the plan of God. Hallelujah. And you might say, well, I don't know. Well, the first step is asking. The first step is what you're doing right now. You're right here, praise the Lord, and we can help with that. Amen? Yeah. Glory to God. And if you don't believe that, then there's another church that can. Amen? I'm just going to tell you the truth. Because it's about what God has for you, where He has planted you. Amen? So many people are trying to amass the tools and spend their lives with nothing built. Think about your life. You can tell what your pursuits have been by what's built in your life. What am I doing? That's what my pursuit is. You can understand that. Now, again, you have to balance this out. I'm not saying like, okay, well, we've got a nice house. Was that my pursuit? No, you got to look at your whole life, you know, not just that one thing. But if your whole life has been that house, then yeah, that was your pursuit. See, you were building something that doesn't matter. You understand that house, one thing that the Lord reminds me of every time, we love going to art museums, I said that. We look at these paintings that people would die and sometimes do die to get these, you know, and to have these. But one of the things about them that the Lord reminds me every time that I'm in there, this $50 million painting that's before me is one day going to burn up. It's going to burn up. Everything in this life and this earth will be destroyed. And all that will be left is what we've built. Did we build God's kingdom? That was the thing that remains. None of the things here will. And so while things are tools and you can use tools, there's nothing wrong with amassing tools if you need to use them, if you're willing to use them. But know this as you're amassing your tools, that you need to use them for the right purposes. Amen? Whatever the tools may be. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so in Luke 16, 1, I want to share this with you. Actually, go ahead and turn over to Luke 16. Yeah, we'll go to Luke 16. Praise the Lord. You know, I told you, and you keep coming back, so that's a good thing. But I told you the direction that we're going to be going till Jesus comes back. And so this is kind of the thing, and maybe you only came back because you're testing to see if I'm actually being serious about it or not. But we're going to run at Jesus, and we're not going to stop. We're not going to pull back. We're going to run at God and everything that He has for us to do, praise the Lord, and we ain't going to pull back. We're going to keep heading that direction. And as we're running, we're going to look at our brothers and sisters, the ones sitting around you, and if you see somebody who's kind of lagging a little bit, you're going to lock arms with them, and you're going to drag them if need be, but you're going to keep them going. And they might try to go out the door, and you're going to say, uh-uh, Josh is going to block the door. That's his new job, by the way, is blocking the door. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We might bring Steve on board. I've always seen Usher in you, brother. I can see it all over you. Amen. Glory to God. But, you know, we like to put the... Do we have a greeting team? Do we still have a greeting team? Yeah, you. Well, we need to... We got great ushers in here, but we need to balance it out with some sweet, sweet little old ladies like yourself. I'm just kidding. Oh, I'll get in trouble later. Yeah. Thanksgiving's coming up. One year she decided to cook a turkey without the legs, you know, just the breast, and I was like, you can't do that. And so now, but you know what's going to happen this year. I'm going to get there, and there ain't going to be no legs or wings on that thing. I'm going to come in, and Daisy and Mabel are going to be chewing on them on the floor. Sorry. Praise the Lord. Precious. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we need sweet people on our greeters team. Let's get that. Make sure we're greeting people coming in. Amen. We got to keep them. Well, we get them in through the greeters, but we keep them from leaving through the ushers. That's how it works. Amen. So you found Luke 16. One. I always know I've gone too far by your reaction, by the way. See, my wife would have stopped me from that, but she isn't here, and she could have made me not go that far. But anyways, Luke 16:1, it says here, and now he was saying to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. Now we're going to stop right there. And we understand that when Jesus is given this, I've often heard it said, and I believe it's true, that when Jesus talked about someone specifically, he was talking about an actual event, and then sometimes he was talking just kind of metaphorically, giving us an idea of something. And here we know this, that he's talking about the kingdom of God, amen? And when he said, he was saying that there was a rich man who he's talking about is the Lord. So it was the Lord had a manager, and this manager reported to him as squandering his possessions. The reason I started off, and we're going to skip a bunch of verses in between, but the reason I started off here, because those words, squandering his possessions, spoke out to me. You do realize that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In other words, everything that's here belongs to him. Glory to God. Nothing that you have belongs to you. You can think it does, and you can boast about that. I would suggest being careful about boasting about that, because the minute you start boasting about what you have, you're going to find that it's going to be challenged. Amen. But the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so we understand that squandering his possessions. And the idea is what this man was put in charge over, he was squandering what he was being useless as the manager of those things. And so the thing, of course, we take away from this is the first question we should ask ourselves, are we squandering what God has done with us? Do you have health? Do we believe God gives health? I believe he does. And so if you've got good health, are you squandering that health by doing nothing but just what you want to do? Is God given you money? Are you squandering the money? Has God given you influence? Are you squandering the influence? You know, some people have the ability for influence. Actually, I've said this several times. In both of our churches, being the Mayville Church and the Corey Church, there is two individuals, each separate, you know, two different individuals who are specifically called to the works and to this day have not become faithful. In fact, they don't even go to either church. But each one of those people are called to the work. I know they are because the Spirit of God showed me. Now, I don't call them up all the time and say, hey, you're called to the work. Why aren't you here? They have to see that, just as you have to see where you're called. I can know it, but that doesn't change the fact that you need to know it. Amen. And so they need to know it. They need to discover it for themselves. But this is the truth. Both of them have influence, and that influence is being squandered on things that it shouldn't be squandered on. And they will answer before the Lord for it, because God, I know this specifically, that God has dealt with both of these individuals to be in the right place at the right time. God does not want you to squander what he's done. And yet so many people just live this life, just going to live this life for me. Just got to do me. Just got to, you know, just got to do the thing I'm going to do. And what are they doing? They're squandering the possessions that God has given them. And furthermore, they're not walking in the things that God still has for them. There's more for them to obtain. They're after these things in the life. I don't know about you, but when I was in my 20s, specifically in my early 20s, I hated where I was at in life. I couldn't stand where I was at, and so I was always trying to scheme and plot and figure a way to get out of it. And so I came up with all these brilliant ideas, and none of them ever worked, or I never had the money to do them. And everything I attempted, one thing after another, failed. The entire time God had called me to be a pastor, I didn't realize it. I mean, I guess I did to a degree, but I didn't fully understand that. I didn't know that he had things for me to do. And so what did I do? I squandered my 20s. And my 20s paid me back for that. There was plenty of pain and suffering and sorrow I went through in those years because I squandered those things which God intended for me to do. And I decided that when I came to the Lord, when I came back to the Lord when I was 20, around 28 years old, I decided I wasn't going to go back again. I said, I'm all done with the backsliding. I'm all done with going backwards. Because you know that life as well as I do. That life. Yeah, I was going to say something else, but that's a better word. Thank you, sister. That life stinks. There's nothing in that life. People go through that life and they're always so, why do I wake up feeling this way? Why am I depressed? Why am I miserable? Why are things always going wrong? I'll tell you why, because you don't know God. You're not in God's plan. See, you can live aside from the plan of God and you can have hell. And then someday you still stand before Jesus and you'll answer for those things that you did or didn't do. Praise the Lord. Or you can run at God with everything that's in you, have him bless you while you're here. Glory to God. Doesn't mean you won't have opposition, but he'll bless you while you're here, and you'll get to there and you'll stand before him and he'll say, here's some more rewards for you just for doing good. Yeah. Praise the Lord, because that's how God is. Amen. So skip on down to verse 9. Amen. It says here, and I say to you, remember this is Jesus telling him, he said, I say to you, make friends for yourselves by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into eternal dwellings. Now, the principle here is I've been meditating on this a lot, and I find this very interesting. Make friends for yourselves by the wealth of unrighteousness. What is the wealth of unrighteousness? It's the things of the world. Yeah. That's what it is. It's the wealth of the world. You know, it's like stuff. Stuff that you know doesn't matter. You know, one of the things I found out by the time I was 20, about 21 years old, I started amassing all the things that really meant something to me. By the time I was about 24 or 25 years old, I lost it all. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. I lost every bit of it. And I remember sitting there looking at my life. I remember being in an apartment, not even with a roll of toilet paper. No furniture, nothing, just an empty apartment. Maybe like, I had like a mattress that had been given to me, and I had like a love seat that had been given to me. And that was about the most of my possessions at that time, because I had lost everything else. And I'm sitting there looking at this, and I thought, man, how quickly things can just completely disappear. Now, I wasn't wealthy or anything like that before then, but my point is that I was starting to get those things that I thought mattered so much to me, but being focused only on those things, I lost them all. And I realized that things come and go. If you don't, I love Frank Lloyd Wright's architecture. He has some, if you don't know who he is, he was a famous architect back in the early part of last century. And he has some buildings up in Buffalo, and there's some really beautiful, I love walking through his buildings. But one of his most well-known works is up in Buffalo, New York. It's called the Darwin D. Martin House. And Darwin D. Martin was a man who worked, he was an executive for the Larkin Soap Company, which was this huge company out there in Buffalo. And he hired Frank Lloyd Wright to come in and design a bunch of buildings. They did so for the company, and they did so for him, a house for him. And the reason I bring this up is because this was right before the Great Depression. And Darwin D. Martin was a multimillionaire. He's somebody who worked his way up from, like, he was a paper boy when he started off, and he worked his way up to be a multimillionaire and the head of this company. And really, Frank Lloyd Wright was famous when he would design something to keep changing it. And as they went, he never met the budget. He always far exceeded the budget. But Darwin D. Martin was somebody, even though he was annoyed by the fact that he was exceeding the budget, he still kept paying him and kept paying to have it done. Well, this great house was built, and it was, pretty amazing, and it's in books and people all over the world who know Frank Lloyd Wright know of this house. Darwin D. Martin, the stock market crash happened in the 20s there. Darwin D. Martin, when he died, had not enough money in his bank account to put a gravestone on his grave. And you see that this man who amassed all these things and did really some what we would consider some wonderful things, some amazing, brought us architectural gems to this area. And today it's a huge industry up there. It's part of the tourism, and people come from all over the world to see this. But the man who did that, his pursuits were wrong. And I'm not trying to judge him and say, because I don't know if he knew the Lord before he died. I don't know that. But my point to saying that is when we pursue the wrong things, they will fail us. And when we're pursuing just the stuff of this life, listen, this life ain't long if you ain't figured it out. And if you have, you're certainly looking back on it going, I love that I was able to reflect with my grandfather in the last, especially the last year of his life. He passed this year. And I learned a lot by watching him. But one of the things that this man showed me, I'll never forget, was it was on July 30th of the year 2020. Sometimes I forget what year it is. July 30th of 2020, we were sitting there with him and my grandmother, and he held up a spoon to me, and it was just he was using it as a prop. But he was like, the minute that you're told that you're not going to live, he says, suddenly everything doesn't matter anymore. All this stuff, none of it matters. Because in that moment, he knew he was given 4 months to live. He made it 9 months. But the doctor said, there is no cure for this. There is no help for this. You will die from it. And in his mind, that's exactly, he knew what was going to happen. Now, he pushed it to 9 months. But the point that I'm trying to make to you is, when you're faced with eternity, which comes awfully quick, you start realizing that what was here right now, man, maybe I need to. And I saw this man reflect on his life over the last few months that he, and I believe that's why he was given those months, as for some reflection, to reflect on some things. And I watched him reflect, I listened to him reflect, and it moved me to a place where I was like, I don't ever want to be in that place where I'm considering. Now, my grandpa was a godly man, so don't get me wrong. He did a lot of wonderful things. I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for him and my grandmother. But the reason that I bring that up is because of the importance of how we reflect on our life. Better to reflect on it now while we're breathing than to try to reflect on it when it's too late to do anything about it. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I heard my grandpa. There were several things that he said to me, I should have done ... I should have, and they weren't things, you know what it was? It wasn't, I should have climbed Mount Everest. I should have gone to Hawaii on that vacation. it was, I should have been better in this area. And one of the things that he did share with me that was really good too is he talked about some things where he knew that he had done right and that he was glad that was what he, at least in that circle, what he would be known for. And see, we have to consider that when people are living this life. You know, people out there in the bars this weekend or out there partying and stuff like that, they're not thinking about tomorrow. They're not thinking about eternity, but they need to. They need to hear about it. Why? Because they'll face it too. But they're going to face it without any fruit. People that are out there just living life for themselves, just throwing caution to the wind, doing whatever they're doing, they don't realize that any step in the next step they take could mean their end. They could step outside. I know of a person just 33 years old, perfectly healthy, got a sickness and died just like that overnight. It came on, done. Just gone, just like that. Perfectly healthy. I mean, there's no guarantees in life. Praise the Lord. The only guarantees exist with God. And so we need to learn that, and we need to understand that and live our lives in such a way. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm going to try not to go all the way through because I know I took some time with the licensing and stuff. But these are some good things for us to meditate on. Let's keep going here just a little bit. He who is faithful in very little, verse 10, is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in very little, in a very little thing, is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? Now, of course, Jesus is talking about money, and a lot of times we think of these as money scriptures. But the point, the real point to what Jesus is saying is this. Wealth of the world, it's not true riches. That's not what really matters. So if you can't even be faithful in something that doesn't matter, why on earth would I give you something that does matter? Why would I give you something? Why would I lead you into something greater? You know, people go to God all the time and they're like, Lord, give me this or give me that, but they never consider. And I am convinced the reason that most prayers that go unanswered are unanswered is because people are just going after them for selfish reasons. In fact, we got scripture that backs that up. Over there in James, what, 4? It talks about that. He says, you have not because you ask not, but if you have and you don't receive because you ask for your own purposes, so you can just spend it on yourself. You know, why I want this because I want a better me. Praise the Lord. I want a better life. I want a happier life. I want this or that. You'll never find fulfillment unless you find it with Jesus. You never will. Do you realize that if you come to church and you become a good Christian and you sit here all the time, but you never connect with God, you'll never be fulfilled. There will be people that will sit in churches every Sunday. They're faithful to serve. They do things, but they don't have a relationship with God. And you know something? They go unfulfilled. And so they're always looking, well, I guess this isn't going to work. I guess this isn't going to work. The reason it doesn't work is because they haven't connected with Jesus. We have to connect with God. We have to get that desire in us that it's about Him, that it's about, you know, there's nothing wrong with coming to God saying, God, I'm broken. I'm defeated. I need you. There's nothing at all wrong. In fact, that's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to reach the broken. He wants to reach the hurting. He wants us to reach the lost. He wants us to help find those and bring them to Him for the purpose of Him restoring Him, because God wants to restore lives. Jesus died on the cross so He could restore lives. And not just your life, not just your neighbor's life, but everyone's life. Do you realize the Father watches child after child after child go to hell? I don't mean children, but child of His. Or should be His. Go to hell. Because people haven't reached them. God's heart is for people. Our heart needs to be for Him. And when our heart is for Him, it will be for people. And we'll be effective. Then we're not squandering this thing that we do. See, my wife and I have started learning this, and we started looking at our lives as this stuff here is just tools. Even when we get something we want, it's like, I'll give it up if I have to. I don't need it. I don't have to have it. Praise the Lord. And that is an awesome place to live, because that stuff that means nothing doesn't have you. I've known people who, if they have a car, man, it's so important to them. And if you were to breathe on it wrong, they would be mad. Praise the Lord. See, that stuff doesn't matter to me. People matter. God matters. Praise the Lord. Learning more about Him, getting more filled with His Spirit, knowing, spending that time with Him. There's exciting. You know, I was talking last night. Was it last night or today about adventure? Was that last night? Last night. I was talking about adventure. God is a God of adventure. Praise the Lord. He loves adventure. He's the one who created it. We have adventure because God put it in us to love adventure. You know, I was saying this this last night, I was using this example. You know, that exhilaration you get on the drop of a roller coaster where you're like, where you're, you know, I do the same thing. I go to a roller coaster, I don't want to go on that. I get on it, I'm like, woo, yeah, this is great. You know what I mean? But it takes you, because you get to that point, you know. But when you're in that place, glory to God, that exhilaration, who do you think created that? God created that. He gave you that ability to feel those things. Praise the Lord. You know, we're in hunting season right now. And we know how hunters get about hunting. They love hunting and they love seeing deer. And they get excited, especially when they see that deer, that one deer, the one they've been waiting for, walking through the woods, and they get to draw and it's right there. There's exhilaration. There's excitement. Where do you think that came from? That's God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's put this earth in us, or put us in this earth so we can enjoy it, so we can partake of that. He made things exciting. He made mountains too high. He made valleys too low, or oceans too deep that we couldn't get to, only to push in us the desire to get there. He put stars that were unattainable to us. They say the nearest galaxy is like what, thousands of light years away or something like that. That's like traveling at the speed of light. It takes 1,000 years or whatever it is to get there. What is that? That's God's greatness. That's His adventurous side. Praise the Lord. God has put that in us. And so it's not wrong to live that, but to keep it focused and balanced on Him. And when you keep it focused and balanced on Him, you walk those things out. That's the stuff of true wealth, true riches. How do we know that? Because you watch a millionaire, a billionaire amass all this wealth, and then what do they do with it? Go climb Mount Everest. They go, you know, they go sailing across the ocean. They go do something with the money, but it's something that's not has nothing to do with the money. Amen? Praise the Lord. Therefore, if you have not been faithful to use the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? This answers those questions perfectly. No servant can serve two masters. Look at this. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now I am sensing that I need to close this, and so we're not going to go further with it today. Hopefully we'll get back into it next week, because I believe where we're going is good with this. But I'm just encouraging you here today, as you leave here today, consider where you're at. And I'm not looking down on you saying everybody's out there doing wrong. Maybe you're doing things perfectly right. Then all this should do in that considering is stir you up and propel you forward. You know, if you're like, oh man, if I've been doing this right, well, praise the Lord, I'm just going to keep doing it right. And if you haven't been doing it right, well, then maybe you just need to get something fixed a little bit. Don't be condemned by it. Praise the Lord. The only condemnation is going to come is when you just don't, when you won't. Amen. But remember, the earth is the Lord and the fullness of it all. God has put these things for us for use, but these things are a tool. What you need is a tool. Food, it's a tool. It's a tool. It just gets you to keep going. Praise the Lord. It's a basic need. God's promised to supply it. Next week, we'll probably see that. But as we go forward, we can take this and we can start even looking and asking ourselves daily, what am I doing with, what am I doing? Because if you're caught, I've been caught, I know what it's like. What am I doing? I've been caught as a pastor in that place. What am I doing? So every day is the same. I go from one day to the next and nothing seems to change. I'm not doing anything. I'm not getting anywhere. And if you're in that place, this is the message that you need, the one you need to embrace. Amen?